Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, Lord, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. Happy Pentecost. It's a great day. One of my most favorite days in the church. I wish we could wear red more often. Sign of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is the culmination of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Christmas is great, you know. We get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Easter is the victory. Pentecost is the whole reason for it all. It is the unleashing of the power of God's Spirit beyond the bodily flesh and blood of Jesus and into the hearts of His people, His followers. It is when His resurrection power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, began to flow into the hearts and minds of His followers, the community of faith, to recreate and to renew the face of the earth, to redeem the whole world. There was only one way that that could happen. Through you and through me and through humble, weak, broken, willing individuals. It began so small. This is phase two of Jesus' mission to the world. It's a beginning of living a different way, being a different way. It's the reason for the church, the reason why we're still here. It's also the mission of the church. If we want to know why we're here and what we're supposed to do, what it's all about, we've got to go back to Acts chapter 2. And indeed, before that, Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, John baptized you with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He said that a new power will come upon you. It's not a power that the world has. It is my power. I will put my power within you in the form of the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Here, and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Spirit of truth will come upon you, and you will tell the story, God's story, to the entire world. And indeed, in chapter 2 of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit came upon them. Didn't come upon an individual here or there. It came upon a community who listened, who went to Jerusalem, stayed in Jerusalem, and waited for the promised Holy Spirit. They were expecting it. They were open to it. And they stayed there until that Holy Spirit came. And once it did, a whole new community was born. And God's mission, His movement was unleashed upon the world. Yeah, there was probably about as many people there on that day as are here today. There was maybe 120 people, 150 people. And they came together and they began to tell a new story. Peter preached a sermon. Now, it wasn't any great sermon. Wasn't anything special. He told what God had been doing. He told what God was doing, what He was going to do. And people heard it. They were hungry for it. They wanted it. And they were baptized. We were told that 3,000 were added to their numbers. A couple days later, another 2,000. 5,000 new people. This movement began to spread like wildfire. Now, they were still being persecuted. They were marginalized. They were shamed. They were told, you know, do not preach in this name of Jesus anymore. You will be put to death. We will put you in prison. We will take away your ability to earn an income. Or all kinds of things happened to them. But the more the Romans and the Jews began to persecute, the more they clung to their faith and to their community. And the more the faith spread. In fact, they couldn't stop it. Persecution and even death seemed to be a way in which this new movement spread out like wildfire. There was phenomenal growth. What do you think could account for this phenomenal growth amidst so much persecution? Why would people be willing to die for their faith? Why would people be willing to go against the powers and the authorities that were trying to get them to be quiet? They could do nothing else. They had to preach and talk about what they were experiencing. And that's what they did. They taught, they shared their story, they preached the gospel, and the authorities were powerless to stop it. There was a guy named Gamaliel who was a member of the ruling council and who was advising the high priest. He said, you better leave them alone. I think all of your persecution is having the opposite effect than what you intend. He said, look, if this little band of Jesus followers are the real deal, if they are from God, then there's nothing that you're going to be able to do to stop them. But he said, if they're of human origin, you know what? They will go away in time. You won't have to put up with them anymore. I think we have to ask ourselves, why is the church still here today? What is it that has kept the church alive all these many generations if it were not from God? If God were not present in the community gathered? That's why we come. We come together to share in the life where God is present, where God is real. There were signs. There were signs that were evidences of God, signs that were unlike anything anybody had experienced anywhere else. One was this inexplicable love that people had for one another. There was an ability to recognize a truth, a spirit within one another. There was an ability to sense that we were joined together in a new way, that we were no longer divided by our race, our nationality, by all of these things. You look at where we are today in the world. The world wants to divide us. The world wants to divide people by race, by nation, by political ideology, by socioeconomic status, by you know, anything that it can possibly seek to tempt us into realizing that we should fight one another. God has come together to bring, I mean, if you look at this group that's gathered here, you had Jews and Romans, Arabs and Greeks, folks from different cultures, sexes, religions, economic and political classes, educated and uneducated, from every philosophical divide you could imagine. They couldn't get any more divided than they were on the day of Pentecost. Yet there was something that was so powerful. That was the witness. That was the witness to the world. That the world looked on them and they said, Why are y'all talking? Well, you should not be hanging out with one another. You shouldn't agree. What are y'all agreeing about anyway? What do you have in common now that you were once fighting about? There was something there that was so much deeper. Now they didn't share anything in common before, and now they share everything in common. Literally. God drew them together. Those who were isolated, those who were alone, those who were in their own little corner, God brought them into a common fellowship. One thing that I think that we mustn't ever forget in our, you know, politically correct culture, Christianity is not exclusive. It is the most inclusive community of people in all the world, and that's the way God intended it to be. God drew us all together. We are naturally divided. Without God, that's where we are. No matter what our race or class or bank account, we know each other deeper than our politics, deeper than what is on the surface. That's our witness. There's a fellowship of oneness. And that only comes where God is present. And that's the gift of God to the world. That's the gift that you and I have been invited into. You know, I remember the time when I realized that I wanted so much more than I was experiencing in my life. I couldn't find it in my work. Didn't find it in my my social friends. Didn't find it, you know, on the golf course or. There was a time when all I wanted to do was sit down and talk about the things that were real, the things that mattered, to share our own human struggles that we all have. Where could we go to talk about that and to experience that? And I found that in this community of faith in Jesus. Not everybody wanted to go there. But for those that did, there was an amazing journey of sharing together in real life, in the life that was in Christ, a new life. And that was the life that I yearned for. That's the life that I live for today. I wanted more of Jesus and His life in mine. That's what we have to offer the world. And that's why we're here. The community of faith is the only place where we can come to be reminded that we're loved by God. That we're loved by Him unconditionally. That we're of supreme value. That we're precious. And that God has a plan. There's a purpose and there's meaning to our lives. The church is the only place where people can come to be reminded that we're not alone. You don't suffer in silence by yourself. That we have a shared common existence and that we can transcend that together. This community of people who want to walk alongside one another and bear one another's burdens. Compassion and care. This church is an only place where people can be reminded there's a peace that runs deeper than the absence of conflict. A peace that runs deeper than the absence of pain, struggle, grief. There's a hope that sustains us. The church is a place where we can learn to offer forgiveness and accept forgiveness, be set free, and be a part of helping others to find that same freedom. The church is a place where people are reminded or can be reminded that life is not about having something to live on, but rather something to live for. We have something to live for. It's not about what we can get, what we can take, but what we can give, what we have to offer. We have something to live for that is so much bigger, so much better. The church is the only place where we can experience all that God has to offer. His grace and His love. When Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes upon you, He said, you will be my witnesses. This is not a new commandment that I give you. This is not something I have to beat over your head to go do out of obligation. This is something that once you experience it, you cannot keep it to yourself. Something that you will have to share because it will be flowing through you. And that's God's gift to the church, to you individually, through this community of faith that you're a part of, and ultimately to the world and to everyone you encounter, to the ends of the earth. Amen.